by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, True Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. And of course, we are rapidly approaching the full onset of spring, Janet.
It always comes as a surprise. And, you know, we've had some weeks of below zero temperatures and we all got excited and we were headed out for the ice. And then right away, we had some weeks of 60 degree weather, 75 mile an hour winds, and poof, it's gone. So just as a reminder, safety first, and now we're talking about boating season.
Yeah, which it's kind of interesting that, you know, there's still that second or third winter possibility that's going to zip through here, but people are getting anxious. They want to get that boat out on the water, and one of the issues about that is they maybe haven't looked at their AIS sticker or, you know, to make sure that they're compliant with what needs to be done.
Oh, absolutely. And I wasn't even thinking along those lines, Drew, but you're spot on. Make sure that you have registered your boat for 2025 and that you do have your AIS decal. That comes pretty well packaged now in your registration, and you can do 3 years if you want, or 1 year. You know, I think the big concern about this time of year is this is when all the snowbirds start coming and going again. And we want to remind those folks that starting March 1st, it's important to make sure that you have your AIS inspections done, especially if you're coming from places in the South where zebra and quagga mussels are actually located. They've got some lots of positive waters down there, and we want to make sure that we're not bringing those home to Wyoming.
So if we're talking AIS, that means we have to bring in the expert.
That's right. He's here again, as always.
Eric Hansen, how are you? Did you have a calm winter?
Oh, I don't think anything is too calm anymore, Drew. There's always something to be working on, and this winter proved to be another example of that.
So with us having this open water now and the warmer temperatures, people are getting really antsy and want to get out on the water. And if there is open water and they can take their boat out, are you guys doing check stations already, or are you about to open that up?
So, yeah, that's a good question, Drew. And it's getting to that time of year where, you know, folks are really starting to get that itch to get out on the water. I've had a few boaters, you know, ask about if there's any open waters or usable launches at some locations. So they're definitely ready. And, you know, I've seen quite a few drift boats that are already getting on the North Platte where it's broken open. So we're definitely getting there and getting prepared. So that's why I wanted to hop on today and make sure that folks knew, you know, where to find us and what they needed to do before launching in the early season. So like you asked, check stations will be opening around the state here starting in the next few weeks. So it'll be kind of spotty as crews start and get trained and get ready to start inspecting boats. But most of our border locations will be opening later this month, and you know, especially for those folks, like Janet said, that are coming back from somewhere down south, you know, make sure you either look for us on the roadside or reach out to your regional office to get that inspection and decontamination set up.
What states are we really concerned about? I know that there have been an outbreak in a couple of different states, and things have been kind of hit or miss on some of them. But what states are we really concerned about?
It's hard to say anymore. You know, it used to be like, oh man, if you're using Lake Powell, if you're using Lake Havasu, you know, those were kind of the de facto, like we really want to make sure we take a good look at those. But with the spread that we've been seeing in the last few years, you know, we're kind of feeling like we're one of the last bastions now. So, you know, if you're coming from Pactola in South Dakota, if you're coming from Idaho Falls in Idaho, we want to take just as good a look at that watercraft as we would if you were, you know, moored down on Lake Powell for the season. So
really just make sure that you, you know, get checked, you know, and check your stuff out, because, you know, the last thing you want to do is come on here and say, oh no, it's happened.
That's exactly it. And, you know, it's one of those things every year we find the majority of people are working really hard to make sure that their boats are clean and drained and dry and they get their inspection when they're coming home. But there's always a few that aren't. And this is when we can find live mussels on them because it's a quick transport from, you know, maybe where they spent their winter time to where they're going to spend their summertime. And we really do, you know, Eric and his crew, while they may not be out on the lake just yet, they're headed there really quickly. And if, you know, a quick phone call to the office can schedule an inspection that can save Wyoming's waters. And it's so important. And I know that it can be a hassle, but we just, you know, we're very lucky that we still have our fisheries and we still have our recreation areas, and that can all change really quickly.
Eric, I know that you were just talking about, you know, you're starting to get folks trained to go out to these check stations. And what's a training session like, and how long does it last for the technicians that'll be out there on location?
So that's a good question, and it varies from person to person, obviously. I'm lucky in that I have quite a number of folks that come back with me season after season. So usually their training is pretty quick, catch them up on what changes have happened over the winter, any differences in decontamination protocols or inspection protocols or any new high-risk waters or AIS to be on the alert for. If you're coming in from scratch, it's a full two-day training. You do 16 hours of both book learning, death by PowerPoint, hands-on training and practice, hooking up the hot water pressure heater, and, you know, learning how to decontaminate boats. It's the full deal. So we like to make sure that we are giving our folks all the tools that they need when they're out in the field, especially since they're often far flung from, you know, the regional office. So they're kind of an island out there.
There are so many different types of watercrafts that you guys have to inspect. Do you ever get to a part or a point where maybe you have a newbie that is like, well, I've never even seen a boat like this, or I have no idea where to get to certain, you know, locations on this boat?
Yeah, and I like to joke, and a lot of my long-term technicians will say the same thing, you know, like, man, when I started, like, I knew about, like, kayaks, and I'd been on my grandpa's boat once, you know, and I've heard that so many times over the years, and it rings true to me as well. Like, I rode a jet ski when I was a kid, and I like to float the river, but before this job, I didn't know an awful lot about watercraft. And that's, you know, kind of one of the behind the scenes things that folks don't see that we do. But that is one of those off season, you know, we go to boat shows, we are constantly learning about new watercraft, changes in watercraft. There's something new every year. Even our watercraft enforcement officers are like, they'll get ones that stump them, that, you know, there's always something new coming out. And so it's, I like to think that the best experience for those folks is being right there and, you know, seeing the boat in front of them and getting to crawl around on it. And, you know, thankfully a lot of boaters are very patient with us and recognize that, you know, what we're doing is helping the environment and helping keep things in good working condition for them as well in terms of their watercraft. So, you know, a lot of times we'll notice things like if there's been a hose that's been disconnected or something, you know, and we'll point that out to folks. So we like to stay up on watercraft as much as we can. And thankfully now manufacturers are making our lives easier too with putting in things so that we can decontaminate quicker and easier. So
one of the things that I saw last summer that I thought was kind of interesting, and really was one of the first times I've ever seen this, but a boat was, it was hot, you know, everybody wanted to kind of cool off a little bit. And one of the boats had an external hose that he had hooked up to his boat and was spraying the deck off and spraying his legs off and trying to stay cool like that. With a hose, that situation, if you're coming from out of state, do you have to have the hose inspected? I mean, is that part of the process now?
Man, into Eric's joys of the job, right? All the little things that they have to look for.
Yeah, we'll call this a little AIS expose this morning. So that's actually exactly what we're looking for. So, you know, a lot of times it's just anything that water from the lake would have touched or sat in. So we're making sure that pumps are clear, all the hoses have been either drained or had our hot water ran through them to make that, you know, risk of mussel biology even lower. And so there are a lot of kind of quick ways, you know, if we can't get to intakes on the underside of the boat, if there's a way to unhook the fat sack or able to get into the ballast tank, you know, we can fill it up that way. It's really just replacing any water that could be in there with, you know, some sterile hot water to make sure that nothing is alive.
Some of these rangers, these just fishing boats are so high tech and have so many things on it. So if you are heading out, especially for the first time this year, you want to make sure that you take a little bit of extra time and stop and see the folks at the check stations. And Eric, I know that at one point last fall, we had talked about some things changing at some of the popular AIS stations around, at least in our general region.
Yeah, and that's actually something, you know, that happens each year kind of statewide, is we're able to look at the data, understand where folks are coming from, and, you know, see where we need to alter hours or manpower. So, you know, some of the changes that we'll see in our region is the Cheyenne check station at 25 and 80 there on the border. They will actually be opening earlier this season and have, you know, kind of longer days to help catch some of those folks coming from out of state. Because that's really, you know, still our main concern is if that boat's been out of state, you know, we need to take a look at it. So, and as we talked about the technologies, you know, they're in the process of getting those things installed as well, of being able to, you know, have quicker decontamination. So it would actually be more prudent for people to stop there time-wise probably and get that taken care of. So some other changes, we are moving the Glendo check station. And so that's kind of my big, what I wanted to get out to everyone. You know, this week was, make sure that folks remember what they need to do and when they need to do it as some of these changes happen. So we'll be moving out of Glendo Town and be setting up on boat ramps, most likely in the Bennett Hill area, and we'll be advertising more of where you'll be able to find us. It's kind of that, you know, reminder to folks that they sit over winter and forget what they need to do. So if the boat hasn't left the state, you know, and you have an inspection, you're good to go. And, you know, folks need to remember that, you know, the only time they need to seek us out right now is if they've been out of state. So, and as things progress, you know, they're obviously with big change, hopefully things are going to be better in the future. And so that's what we're working towards, is actually getting that check station in a permanent location close to the park entrance at Glendo that will kind of just be able to have a nebulous thing where everything's flowing right there at that one location. So big thing to look forward to in the future, and lots of work for me to do, but it's one of those, you know, there's no change without a little bit of headache here and there. So this will be the year of the headache.
Do you find that this will ease tensions on some of the anglers and boaters this summer?
I would like to think so. I'm going into it optimistic, and I know there's going to be a lot of questions and people will be confused. And, you know, as Janet said, that's what we're here for, you know, and I plan on having the press releases and, you know, having that coordination with state parks and everything, try to get it everywhere that we can. So make it as foolproof as possible, and just make sure that you're paying attention if you've been out of state where we're located, and, you know, come get your inspection, decontamination if you need it, and go get on the water. That's kind of the way we'll be operating.
Talk about starting the season out. I feel like last year there was a little bit of everybody was on edge because we had just heard about I think it was in Colorado or maybe Idaho where there was a newfound issue. And this year, I kind of feel like maybe we're going into a calmer year, and I think that gonna maybe start it out on the right foot.
I'd like to think so, and that's the vibe I'm bringing to it. You know, let's be calm and see what happens. you know, they have been doing some more treatments in Colorado and Idaho. So looking forward to their sampling season and see what results come out of that this year. There's always something to follow. But I think, you know, as long as folks are paying attention to where we're at on the borders and where they're coming from, and as Janet said, making sure your watercraft is clean, drained, dry. That's really all it's ever been about, are those few steps there, and then you can make sure that you're safe to get on the water.
Well, looking forward to 2025, and it's going to be a good year. Just we're going positive, all positive to get rolling. And, of course, you can go to wgfd.wild.gov. The AIS boating section is right there where you can get all this information. And I assume, Eric, there will be a lot of information posted throughout the at least the early spring, so that people are up to date.
Absolutely. And I'm sure it's not the last time I'll be talking with you here coming up soon. So folks can expect to start seeing inspectors at the river in North Platte here in mid-March, like usual, and, you know, kind of get jump started on this year and hope for a good one.
Awesome. Well, Eric, Janet, thank you guys. And we look forward to talking to you again on a high note.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back. It's Drew along with Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where, well, Brian, we had some funky weather this week that kind of brought us back into that winter feel with snow and cold weather. But you know what? I was telling my wife the other day, I'm like, she's like, I don't want the snow. I'm like, we got to have this snow for an eventual melt-off for it to be, you know, moisture.
Oh, we've still got more coming. You know, there's usually that, you know, the trees will start budding out and getting some leaves on them, and then we'll get another big snow, and then we'll be picking up tree limbs out of the backyard, and it's not over yet. You know, it's nice to have those days where, you know, I know there was quite a few guys that had the boats out last weekend, and, you know, starting to see a few more guys on float trips and drift boats going down the river. But you're going to have to pick your days. It's not spring is not here yet.
Yeah. And I'll tell you that if you come in and check it out, it's good for you guys, because obviously any of the snowshoes or the cold weather clothes that you have stocked up, I mean, you might as well leave those out a little bit longer and get rid of them.
Well, yeah. And the nice part is that, you know, with this little push of snow we had last week, the mountains got a pretty good hit, and the weather is going to turn nice, and those are going to be some great days to get up in the outdoors and get do some snowshoeing or make some snowmans or go sledding. We do whatever.
Yeah, always options here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And, you know, you go walking through the store, you're going to stumble upon a whole bunch of different things you didn't even know you needed or you wanted. But A, will be convenient. And you were just telling me that, you know, you'd gone to a lot of these the shows already this early part of the year. And some of the things that you have purchased there are already here and ready to go out.
Yeah, you know, we saw a lot of new products, you know, a lot of things, you know, that weren't really, I would say, great items for this market or this region or the type of hunting we do. But there's a lot of great new items, and we just got in a bunch of our LEM meat processing equipment, and we pretty much got our year supply in, so it's here. So if you were looking for a grinder or you want to put one on layaway so you have one for the hunting season coming up, now would be a good time to do that, because we have everything in stock. And there's some great new items with the LEM categories. The one item that's really intriguing to me is it is a battery operated vacuum sealer. So like if we're up there at the lake and we want to, you know, package our walleye fillets and put them in a vacuum pack, we can do that right there on the tailgate.
Wow. So, I mean, just the way the technology is coming with a lot of this stuff. You know, when I was looking for the jerky gun that I got here, you go through and it's not just one jerky gun. You've got jerky guns of multiple sizes. Mm-hmm. You have attachments. You have different brands. You have different seasonings. I mean, and that's just the jerky gun, not even the processing stuff.
Yeah, not even worrying about which dehydrator you're going to use. You're going to use a digital one, stainless steel racks, you know, the traditional. There's a lot of options, but... You know, this is a good time of year. You know, you got tax returns coming back, hopefully, for a handful of guys. And, you know, if you the product that you've been wanting that you maybe broke or at the end of last season go, man, I really wish I had, you know, now's a good time to put it on layaway and, you know, make some payments over the summer.
So last year I took my stuff again to Dan's. I like the folks at Dan's, but I really want to get into to doing it myself. And mm-hmm. what do you really need to get started on that kind of a mission?
A grinder is one thing, you know, because once you have it ground, then you can throw it in the bags and, you know, that type of stuff and wrap it however you're going to wrap it. I think the grinder is the most important thing. A lot of guys like stuffers and they do slicers, but, you know, I pretty much grind most of my stuff. As long as I can make burger and make burgers so I can do jerky down the road, I'm good with that.
And that was something that you and I talked about when we were talking about making jerky is you will process up some of your burger without any suet or any fat mm-hmm. of any, just because of the jerky or the chili aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I it's really nice to just kind of throw a batch of, you know, grab some high country seasonings out and high mountain seasonings and prepare your jerky one night and then, you know, throw that dehydrator out for a day or so and run a couple different batches of jerky through there. Because, you know, especially on the boat and, you know, it's just nice to snack on jerky. It's, you know, a little lot easier and on the body than trying to, you know, snack on Snickers bars, you know.
Right. Well, and if you've looked at buying regular beef jerky in a store, mm-hmm. it's be $30 to get some of those bags of jerky these days. So if you can make it yourself on just a little bit of seasoning and a thyme, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. So when I do that jerky, you know, or when I package it myself, you know, I'm throwing it in bags and a vacuum sealer is great, but you can also just get by with, you know, some of the wax paper wrap and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I just mark it on there, jerky mix or jerky burger, you know, elk jerky burger. And I just know then that there's no fat. So that way when I go to process it and I'm dehydrating it, you don't have to worry about, you know, the fat content in that meat.
So another aspect, I guess, of, you know, planning for the future is coolers. You guys have a full line of coolers, whether it be Yeti or Wild Gear or any
Grizzlies.
Of them. Grizzly, yeah. You got a whole bunch of up there from all different sizes too, and I get a little bit jealous because, you know, You see guys walking around with the bag Wild Gear coolers, and those are pretty standard hot topics these days.
Yeah, the soft coolers have really kind of come a long ways in terms of just how long they actually hold ice, you know. And the Wild Gear coolers made here in Wyoming, I mean, they're top of the line. They're as good as any Yeti or Grizzly cooler out there. And our product mix here at the store, we kind of dictate based on customer feedback and, you know, service and quality of the products. You know, we're not carrying a lot of Walmart level branded stuff. Right. I mean, we're if you want high end or higher end or products that the manufacturers are going to stand behind, those are the companies we work with. You know, so very rarely do we ever see a problem with coolers. You know, we're not back to those days where the old Coleman hinges would break off on you. These guys are making these Rotomold coolers, so I mean, they're over designing them. You know, we've got wheels on coolers that have actual ball bearings in them. They're not just on an axle. Right. You're not having to replace that cooler every 5 years. I mean, it's a cooler for a lifetime.
There's a whole store full of that same mentality. You buy quality, you get quality here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
Yeah, and we're starting to see it with this springtime. You know, guys are starting to get the itch to get their boats out of the storage or out of the garage. And we're starting to see guys that are upgrading electronics, bow mounts, that kind of stuff. So that, you know, when this open water does hit, that they're not busy, you know, re-rigging and wishing that they had their new fish finder installed already. So now's a good time to get that done as well. And again, we do have layaway programs, so if you're looking at a higher end fish finder, that, you know, maybe a $1,500 fish finder, and you don't have that money all up front, layaway is a great option for that too.
How long do you actually have to pay it off? Say you're not going to get the money in until September, but you want to have it there so it doesn't go away.
Honestly, we kind of asked for 90 days, but at the same time, as long as there's some effort made and the guy just didn't forget about it,
right.
You know, so we've got some layaways that have been, you know, guys have been paying on for 6 months, you know, mm-hmm. They'll come in every couple of weeks and put $50 down or $20 down. I had one guy that probably made 300 payments on a layaway because every day at the end of the day, he came in with whatever change was in his pocket, you know, and it was like $2 and 50 cents on a layaway. It's like, hey, whatever, you know, and it doesn't bother me any,
right.
But, yeah, we're pretty flexible with that. As long as there's some payment made, you know, if you went 2 months without ever making a payment, then we'd be like, Come on, man. Some effort, right. You know, even if it's $5.
Right. So come on in and check it out. Also, real quickly, springtime we talked about, but heading up on Casper Mountain or anywhere with snowmobiles, you got to have those stickers, the ORV tags. You can get them all right here.
Yeah, we're still selling a bunch of snowmobile tags because with this last bit of snow, I mean, the snow is good in a lot of places. So snowmobiles, ORVs, and your state park passes. You know, I've had a lot of people that have gotten onto the state park website to try to register themselves and do all that kind of stuff. So we can help you build that your user profile and give you your day passes and camping permits. Now, as far as making the reservations, that's up to you. But we're going to give you all the information that you need to get on there. Now's a great time to do that. So
come on in, check them out. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, CYI Avenue in Casper.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
We're back, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports with Brian Woodward. And Brian, we talk about the fact we want spring to show up, but before we get out on the water, there are some things we need to take care of because, you know, we want to raise some money for some good causes.
Yeah, and with that, we've got the North Platte Walleye Banquet coming up on April 12th. And that's going to be held out at the fairgrounds at the industrial building. Food's going to be prepared by Corey with Occasions with Corey. So we'll have all you can eat walleye. They're $60 a plate. And we've got room for you this year. We kind of went to the events or to the fairgrounds so that we weren't having to turn people away. So if you need tickets, get a hold of me here at the store. Or you can reach out to us on our Facebook page or the North Platte Walleye Unlimited website. And if we need to come to you, we certainly will get tickets to you one way or another.
Yeah, and it's a great cause. Again, we talk about the reason behind this organization is really to keep the conservation and the love of walleye fishing in the minds of everybody, and especially the young kids. That's one of the things that's very important to the North Platte Walleye.
Yeah, I would say getting our youth out fishing is probably our biggest concern. You know, I mean, obviously we're trying to enhance walleye fishing throughout the state, but we've got fishing poles going out to different organizations. We just approved some poles going to a school teacher over in Torrington that's taking like 65 kids to Glendo.
Oh, wow.
In May, part of their science science class. And so we're getting fishing poles to them. And then there is a up in Lander around I think it's June 1st or 3rd, whenever the free fishing day is, that Saturday. They're doing an event in multiple cities up there or towns up there. And so we're doing 150 fishing poles to the Game and Fish up there so they can distribute fishing poles to their different youth fishing programs that they have going on that weekend as well.
Which, yeah, I can remember when I was a kid, the first fishing pole that I got, and I still remember to this day. Like, this is lasting memories, and really the idea behind it is to keep kids involved and keep them off of the phones and the PlayStations.
Yeah, getting kids outside, I mean, for one, is just important enough. But, you know, if we can put a fishing pole in their hand, and especially like at Yesness Pond, you know, the Game of Fish does a pretty good job of stocking that thing up pretty good, you know, for that derby. And,
yeah.
You know, you can get out there and, we talk about Noah all the time, and he drags his little kayak over there. And, yeah. You know, if you need to know how to catch a fish out of that pond, he's the one to talk to.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that it's so cool to see a kid that's very exciting. And even just sitting here in the store, you see a dad and a kid or a daughter and a dad come in, and they get interested whatever dad is interested in. And that really is kind of one of those trickle-down effects.
Right. Well, we need young people to get involved with, the outdoors and gaming fish and all that kind of stuff. So getting them out and getting them interested and engaged is I think it's pretty important.
So you get engaged, you really get some fishing years under your belt, and then you enter into the walleye stampede. I mean,
if you really want to get your feet wet and just try just a fun day, you know, go the Tough Man tournament that the Walleye Club puts on is April 26th, and we hold that at Alcova. And it's more of a membership drive for us as a club. But there's some interesting outcomes. You know, sometimes it really is a tough man and you get some bad weather. Other times it's just tough because maybe the fishing is not so good. But we've had some pretty good days of fishing the last few years up at Alcove, and the walleyes population are looking really good up there. And of course, we do have a trout division and a trash fish division. So okay. If you just want to go for the most suckers or carp or whatever, if you need, there you go. Yeah. Look into that if you want to get your feet wet. But then May 11th and 12th is the first walleye stampede tournament. And this afternoon, we're going to be drawing teams into positions for the that signed up for all three events. So we'll have that posted this afternoon after me and Mitch get done pulling hair out of our heads and drawing those teams into position. So we will be listing all those teams on the roster so that everybody on Facebook knows that that they got in and what boat position they drew for each one of those tournaments.
Which, if you're not already in, getting in right now would be a great opportunity for you to assure the fact that you're going to be able to fish in these tournaments.
Yeah, we're going to limit that Governor's Cup, the second tournament of the year, to 140 boats. And there looks like there's going to be about 40 positions left, maybe 50 at the most. So if you're considering fishing that one, you want to get that application in as soon as possible. We don't limit the first Glendo tournament or the Pathfinder tournament. So you don't have to sign up real fast on those, but just know that those dates are coming. And if you're like me, if you don't sign up, you probably won't get in. But it's kind of like drawing an elk tag, you know?
Right.
If I don't put in for the draw and I don't get that tag in my hand, I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. You know, will I pull a general tag? I don't know.
Right.
But if I get it in my hands early enough, then, you know, we start planning and like, okay, what weekend can we go? How many days can we go? And, you know, it makes it more of an adventure and more of a vacation, I guess.
Right. So, I mean, obviously you can't just show up the day of the tournament and say, I'd like to get in here.
No.
What kind of a cutoff do you do on those?
Usually the Wednesday before the event. So on that 11th, I don't know what the date is, but let's just say it's going to be like, you know, May 7th or whatever the case is, whatever that Wednesday is prior to the event. And that just gives us time to get the rosters up. We have to be in contact with some of our sponsors and let them know what the head count is of how many boats are going to be there, and so they can prepare as well.
Yeah, and really it's fun because you'll be traveling down Walmart picking up stuff for the house, and all of a sudden you'll be like, I think I know that guy, and then all of a sudden you have a whole 139 other people that are your friends that you can reach out to and really open up your fishing options.
Yeah, and I think the camaraderie part of it, like we've talked before, as we're measuring people's fish, there's some guys that are real secretive, put all their rods away so we don't see what they're fishing with, and then and they want to get their fish measured and back to fishing immediately. And there's other guys that just pull up and put the arm around the boat and they're like, sit there and we'll talk for 15 or 20 minutes. It's like, don't you guys want to get back to fishing?
The guys that are pretty confident in their spots.
Yeah, and it is what you make out of it. You can try to be real competitive and you can work yourself up and go, gosh dang it, I didn't do very good today. Or you'd be like, okay, I got an idea now. I saw some guys and how they're different fishing presentations. And then a lot of it's just, hanging out at the campsites or wherever you're staying, a motel, hotel, or whatever, and just, talking with the guys on the deck or, and just kind of getting a feel for, maybe they'll give you some secrets on presentation or types of structure they're looking for. But just being able to get with those guys and to talk to other people about your success or not success, it's a good time.
And at the end of the day, it's fishing. I mean,
In the day, you spend 8 hours on the water fishing, and you didn't spend 8 hours working. Yeah.
It really is an interesting, fun time if you haven't done it. And, one thing that we haven't talked about is you mentioned all the sponsors. You have a lot of sponsors, but you're always, if somebody's interested in being part of the Stampede, you guys are always taking new sponsors as well.
Yeah, the reason that our tournament has gotten so large is because of the support of the sponsors. And, the anglers are paying a large entry fee to get into the tournament, but we're paying back around 92%. And that we've had different divisions that are sponsored by different supporters. And so we have a family division, we have a poor boys division, we've got a young guns division, and we got a there's a there's four divisions. You got a Young Guns family division, Poor Boys, and a
old guys
dinosaur.
Dinos, yeah. Yeah.
So if your team age is 100 years or older, you qualify.
Man, if we got in, we would almost be 100 or more. Good.
We'd be more.
Gosh, yeah, man. More. Well, I'll tell you that if you haven't looked into it, you love to fish walleye. It definitely is an eye opener when you see, you know, all these boats and all these anglers that are out there, and you know, some of them are wearing their sponsor colors, and some of them are wearing whatever they slept in last night because it was a rough night.
You know, it's a bunch of just everyday Joes, you know, that are out there fishing, having a good time, competing against themselves to catch the biggest fish out there. And it's, if you haven't done it, and or if you just have the interest in just seeing what it's all about, you know, this is all 100% catch and release, which is great for the fishery. It's great for the community, right? You know, we don't have a bunch of boats just taking out a whole bunch of fish. And so we got a lot of different rules we have to follow through Game and Fish, but it is all catch and release. But if you just have an interest and say, like, man, I'd love to run around in a weigh boat one day, you know, give us a call, let us know. You know, it's always nice having an extra hand keeping boats apart from each other. And Drew's usually the guy that's taking pictures and writing down the weights for me. But if you would like to join us or be part of that somehow, you know, let us know. We're always looking for guys that are interested in running their own boat and being a weigh boat. We pay you actually to do that. So you can be on the water, you can see some fish, and you can get paid for it.
Not too bad. Not too bad. And if you have someone like Noah, we talk about Noah a lot, but what was he, 12, I think, the first year he came out? Now he's almost 15, I believe. Yeah. And still loves it and has learned so much, and you can tell that he really is enjoying it. So, you know, kids, obviously that's something to reach out about too.
Yeah, and then we started doing on our Gov Cup again, that second tournament in June. We've added back in the youth event. So we do a kids fishing day. So our anglers are giving back. You know, we've got a group of guys that donate like four hours of their time on Friday to take these kids out. We've worked with kids from the Boys and Girls Club in the past. Last year, we just took a good group of kids from the Glendale area. A lot of them are from the same baseball team or something. But yeah, it's nice to be able to kind of give back as well. And during that Gov Cup, we did a Calcutta. And we did a donation back to the Glendale Fire Department. So we're trying to give back and trying to get the communities involved.
Yeah, be sure to check it out. Go to WyomingWalleyeStampede.com or find them on their Facebook and get involved. There's still time. Get over there and check them out.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, you can go to the radio station's app, listen to all of our episodes on demand, and ask questions, send us email, however you would like to get in contact with us, you can. And last week, we talked to Dylan from Onyx Maps, which has become a standard in the outdoors. If you are a hunter, an angler, if you love to hike, you love to get out and go backcountry, having an Onyx Map app is very important because there are so many features on this app that really help you know where you are, help you know where you can be, and really just help you in general. Especially in the hunting world, there are multiple layers depending on what species you're hunting in what areas. And with the corner crossing issues that have happened over the years or trespassing, having the proper knowledge of where you are is very important. And Onyx, I told you last week when we talked to Dylan, that they have master classes available very soon. Matter of fact, this coming week, March 18th, if you want to know how to turkey call, maybe you're not a turkey caller, maybe you're not a turkey hunter, but you're thinking about it, here's an opportunity for you to learn that. Just because you have Onyx and you get in and register for that. Hunt Research Tools 101. So basically, you will learn everything you need to know how to use the app to your advantage for hunting seasons, whether it's deer, antelope, elk, moose, bear, turkey, whatever you're hunting, you'll want to know how to use it. Thursday, 5:30, they are doing this class. You can go to onyxmaps.com and sign up for the master classes. Also, coming up in April, there's the Using the Onyx Hunt app for turkey hunting. because spring turkey hunting is upon us, and we obviously know that turkey hunting and turkeys are a huge issue here in Wyoming. Now, especially, it's become a big deal for someone to be able to hunt turkey or to take care of or help the turkey population. And then on April 9th, Onyx Hunt 101 Master the app. So this is basically everything you need for hunting. The crew is going to show you the exact way to get into the app, to use the app to your advantage. If you have questions, this is a great way to ask it. And again, if you haven't gone and downloaded the app and become part of the Onyx family, you should. I've had it for years now, and it really is a big part of knowing where you are and maybe even who you need to contact. If you have an animal that runs onto another property, you need to know who you need to contact in case you need to go get it instead of just going to get it. Go to onyxmaps.com to find out more information. And, of course, you can go into our app, and I'll get you all that information there. That's going to do it for another episode of Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. No matter where you are in the state, we appreciate you listening. You can listen to all of our episodes on demand right now. Have a great week.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.